You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. We've got plenty of football to look forward to this midweek. We've got the FA Cup fifth round replay between Hull City and Arsenal. We've got plenty of European football as well, with action in the Champions League and the Europa League. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me to look ahead to it is Mr. Dave Kellner. Hi, Dave.
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the midweek feast of football we've got. Enjoyed the weekend action as well. Leicester City extending their lead at the top of the Premier League with that 1-0 win against Watford. Now 5-4 to win the Premier League title, Leicester City. Tottenham 11-4, Arsenal 9-2, Man City 11-2, Manchester United 40-1.
Put another zero on it.
You could do now, given that West Brom beat them at the weekend. Disappointing result for Manchester United. One of the results we got right on the Punt podcast as well at the weekend. Both myself and Derek going with West Brom to win that game. They were overpriced at 7-2. There was a lot of cash for West Brom as well, so I think the punters and the market kind of rectified itself in that match, and they went off around about 3-1 in the end, West Brom. And West Ham, Roberto Martinez, his side seemed to always conspire to be beaten from a winning situation. We've seen it so often at Goodison throughout the course of the last 12 months. Went ahead 2-0. Morales was sent off. Lukaku missed the penalty. Just then you need that bit of organisation and a little bit of tactics to play their part and sit there and absorb that pressure. They didn't, and West Ham went on and won the match in the end. Incredible performance from West Ham, but again, Everton capitulating, which we've seen it throughout the season.
West Ham 150-1 to win the Premier League, by the way, if you fancy a real outsider in that market. But Leicester 5-4 favourites and deservedly so, sitting 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League as it stands. But let's focus on the midweek action, Dave. We'll start with the FA Cup fifth round replay. Hull City take on Arsenal. Hull are 7-2, the draw 12-5, Arsenal are 5-6. We've got betting on them to qualify as well. Hull 7-4 in that market, Arsenal 2-5, and a couple of enhanced odds offers as well. Abel Hernandez to score in a Hull City win in 90 minutes is 8-1, and Alexis Sanchez to score in an Arsenal win in 90 minutes is 7-2. Tricky this, Dave, because it finished 0-0 the first time these two sides met. Both teams played weakened sides. Are we going to get the same on Tuesday evening?
I think so. I think both teams will play slightly weaker sides than you would expect if this was a game they were fully focused on. As you mentioned, they did in the first leg. Arsenal maybe, though, now this is their final chance of silverware. If you are to believe the odds, they're out to 9-2 to win the Premier League following that 2-2 draw at White Hart Lane. And Arsene Wenger was quite positive after that result at White Hart Lane, saying that his team had been, that the resolution of his team had been questioned. And he said, I'll read a quote from Arsene Wenger following that 2-2 draw. He said, "We've shown an outstanding performance, attitude and resolute spirit. This shouldn't be the exception to the rule. This should be the rule. He should expect his players to go out there and have 100% commitment. It shouldn't be, oh, we've played well, we've shown grit and determination on this occasion. That should be the norm for Arsenal, and it's not." And he said the team needs to take encouragement and reproduce that kind of attitude in every single game, which is correct. But why haven't they done it throughout the course of the season? They've not stood up to adversity, this Arsenal side. And it's now 5 games in all competitions without a win following that 2-2 draw. I'd expect Mathieu Flamini to come into the side. He'll probably play in the centre of midfield alongside Mohamed Elneny in this match. He was quite impressive, Elneny, at the weekend. That was his full Premier League debut, did well. Alex Iwobi has started in all of the FA Cup games this season, so I'd expect him to start as well. Looking at that headline offer, the enhanced odds offer there, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win in 90 minutes, I don't think he'll play in this game. I do think Sanchez will be rested for that Premier League match coming up against West Brom at the weekend. The guys that missed out against Spurs, Olivier Giroud, Theo Walcott and Joel Campbell, none of that trio started that game against Tottenham Hotspur. Expect them to be back in the side for this Tuesday night match at the Is it still called the KC Stadium? I think it is.
Yeah, it is,
yeah. Yeah, at Hull. So I expect Arsenal to win this game against Hull, because Hull will definitely, Steve Bruce will definitely play a significantly weak side, whereas I think Arsene Wenger knows now this is his last chance of silverware this season, so he'll play a slightly stronger side than he would have if they hadn't drawn against Spurs. I think if they'd have won that game, you could see every single youngster chucked in here.
Yeah.
The fact that he only got a point from that game means that they'll be fully up for this one midweek. Worth noting that Francis Coquelin, who made a brain-dead decision on Saturday afternoon and got sent off, he's banned, he's out. So, and Jack Wilshere and Santi Cazorla remain long-term absentees as well. So slightly weak in the middle of midfield. That's why Flamini and Elneny will form that partnership. I can see Arsenal winning this game to nil, though. I'm always reticent to and reluctant to back Arsenal at short prices given their run of form at the moment. But Hull, in the Championship, haven't scored in their last couple of games. Got one against Ipswich, winning a couple of weeks ago, midweek on a Tuesday night. Prior to that, didn't score against Arsenal in the FA Cup, didn't score against Brighton and Hove Albion at home. So their form has taken a significant downturn recently. But they're still only 4 points off Burnley at the top of the Championship and still pushing for automatic promotion. Steve Bruce knows that that is worth an infinite amount more than qualification for the next round of the FA Cup. So I'll go for Arsenal to win to nil in this match.
9-5 for Arsenal to win to nil. Yeah, that's the significant thing here, isn't it? I suppose you don't necessarily need to consider Arsenal's team selection too much, because it will be stronger than Hull's reserve team regardless. And Steve Bruce is going to play a weakened side, because for them, Premiership football next season is by far the priority.
Vital. And I think that's going to be key in this match. Arsenal can't play as badly in the reverse fixture on this occasion. I don't believe they will. I suppose a few people might want to take on Arsenal given their odds on and they've not won in five. But I don't on this occasion. I think Arsenal win this game and win to nil. And 9-5's okay for me.
I've just done something I really dislike as well.
Go on.
I said Premiership football instead of Premier League football. I hate that.
Yeah, I do as well.
I feel ashamed of myself.
You should feel dirty, Mark Watson.
I do. yeah, so that's the FA Cup fifth round replay then taking place on Tuesday evening. We're going to concentrate next on the Champions League, and we'll start with the English side in action. Chelsea take on Paris Saint-Germain. Chelsea are 17-10, the draw 21-10, PSG 17-10 as well. Chelsea 2-1 to qualify, PSG 4-11, and enhanced odds here, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in 90 minutes. That's 4-1, Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score, and a PSG win is 4-1. DK, this finished 2-1 at the Parc des Princes, so Chelsea getting the vital away goal there.
Yep.
Is that going to stand them in good stead here? Do you think they'll progress?
It's a tough question, and you see how the compilers have priced this. Each of two with the draw, 21-10 down the middle. It's becoming a regular occurrence, this clash, isn't it? Given we've seen it the last 3 years in the Champions League. Chelsea, of course, won in 2014, but PSG got through against Chelsea and that second leg coming at Stamford Bridge last season. It's such a difficult game to assess, this one. That round of 16 encounter was a thriller at Stamford Bridge, given that Zlatan Ibrahimovic got sent off in the 31st minute of that match, and Gary Cahill scored, and his late goal then wiped out by David Luiz's header in the last 5 minutes. Chelsea have won 8 of 13 UEFA competition ties in which they had a first leg deficit to retrieve at Stamford Bridge, so it's not unusual that they go into a second leg match at Stamford Bridge and qualify for the next round of a European competition. But it's going to be very difficult against PSG. I do like this side. Edinson Cavani, you'd expect to play up front with Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Angel Di Maria in this match. The one good thing for Chelsea is that Nemanja Matic is back available. He can play in this game, having been suspended for the first leg. And he has got that incredible... We've mentioned it on a few times on this podcast. Gus Hiddink has that astonishing record as Chelsea boss, only beaten in one of 23 matches he's taken charge for Chelsea. You know what? This is one match. I have no idea what's going to happen in this game, Mark. I've not got a clue what's going to happen. It's weird. I usually got a strong sense of the outcome of a match. Obviously, prior to it, I never know afterwards. I know I've not got it right afterwards. Diego Costa's playing a lot better under Hiddink, of course. He's got 10 goals since Gus Hiddink took charge. That's 6 more than he managed under Jose Mourinho. Both teams will score, I think.
Oh, you just took my words out of my mouth.
Yeah, I think both teams will score in the game. And I wouldn't want to predict what the scoreline is going to be at the end of the 90 minutes. But I would play both teams to score.
8-11 it is.
8-11. Mm-hmm. That seems fair. A lot of attacking quality on show. No John Terry for Chelsea either. So they are definitely going to be susceptible defensively. PSG warmed up for this match, by the way, with a 0-0 draw against Montpellier, but they rested players. That was a makeshift side for PSG. However, prior to that, they played a pretty strong side against Olympique Lyonnais away from home and were beaten 2-1. So not coming into this in sterling form, but when you're 23 points clear,
you don't need to
at the top of the top of your league, you can pretty much do anything you want and know you're going to still win the title. That could be significant, because Chelsea have still been playing strong sides in the Premier League.
Mm.
And there's definitely been an upturn in form, even though they were held by Stoke City one apiece at the weekend. Mid-table, 10th in the table, Chelsea now, PSG top of their league. Both teams to score is my bet at 8-11. If you've got a definitive opinion either way here, you are a smarter man than I, which is setting the bar pretty low, folks.
If you do have a definitive opinion either way, then I would suggest you could look at the match result and both teams to score market, because I think I'm in agreement with you. I do think both teams will score here. Chelsea in that market 9-2, the draw is 3-1, and PSG are 4-1. You're getting a little bit better juice in the price, because I think that's one of the things you can rely on here almost. That both teams will get on the score sheet.
I do like that market. I think that's probably a good bet, 8-11 for both teams to score, given there's such attacking talent. I wonder, if you are looking at the goal scorers, I wonder whether Bertrand Traore is going to start in this game. Scored at the weekend, wonderful strike from Traore at the weekend. If he starts, I wouldn't be averse to looking at him to score in the game. I'd imagine it should be a decent price as well. 12-5 to score any time. Maybe slightly shorter than I expected, but he is he looks like a serious talent. They did rest Diego Costa for the game at the weekend. So yeah, I don't mind Traore if he starts, but I'm not sure he will in this match.
No. Have we got anything else to add here, Dave, or should we move on?
Let's move on. Let's move on, because I'm not sure on that one.
All right, we've got three other midweek games in the Champions League as well, so we'll just have a quick spin through those while we're at it. We'll start with Tuesday, two games there, Dave.
Yep.
Wolfsburg against Ghent, 8-15 for Wolfsburg, 16-5 for the draw, 5-1 for Ghent. It looked like Wolfsburg had got this tie sewn up in the first leg. They were 3-0 up, but then conceded two late goals, but they do have three away goals here, so do you expect them to finish the job off at home?
Definitely. I think Wolfsburg will win this game. 8-15 they are to win it, which is maybe short enough, but only Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund have won at the Volkswagen Arena this season, which is a pretty impressive record at home. Gent's away form has not been good either. They've been beaten in four of their last five matches on the road. They won only one of their three fixtures in Group H away from home as well. Wolfsburg in Group B played three at home, won all three. So I think Wolfsburg win this game. There's one scorer that I love in this market, and it's Julian Draxler. I think he's a terrific player. Came from Schalke, 13-10, Julian Draxler to score in this game. He is definitely finding his feet now. He got two in the reverse fixture in the first leg, They actually scored with three of their four shots on target in that match, Wolfsburg. He's subsequently, Draxler, gone on to score in their last couple of wins against Hanover and Borussia Mönchengladbach. I think he's fantastic. So I think Draxler will score in this game. He's 13-10 to get on the score sheet. And maybe have a look at André Schürrle. We know all about André Schürrle from his exploits at Chelsea a few seasons ago. He scored three goals in their 4-0 win against Hanover away from home recently. A couple of them were incredible strikes as well. So André Schürrle is also 13-10 to score anytime. Don't think you'll go far wrong backing those two to get goals in this game. Wolfsburg to win comprehensively against a disappointing Ghent side. Wolfsburg minus one available also at 13-10. So I don't tip it unless it's 13-10. Wolfsburg to win that game minus one, 13-10. And look at Draxler. My main bet, Draxler to score in the game at 13-10, and Schürrle as another bet on the goals in the goals market at 13-10 as well. So those are my bets for that one.
Draxler. Did you see his goals from the first leg? He took them brilliantly.
Yeah, he's only 22 years old. I thought he was older than that, Julian Draxler as well. And didn't have the goal scoring record you would expect for a player of his talent at Schalke, but seems to have definitely come into his own when he's made this switch to Wolfsburg now. And I do like backing either midfielders or attacking midfielders or strikers in form, and he's one that isn't a rampant run of form at the moment. So a 13-10 Draxler to score.
The other game on Tuesday evening in the Champions League is Real Madrid against Roma. Real Madrid are 2-5, the draw 7-2, and Roma are 7-1 at the time of recording this. Real Madrid hold a 2-0 aggregate lead here, two away goals on their side as well, and they take on a Roma side who are dreadful away from home in the Champions League. If you look at their away form, they haven't won a game away from home in the Champions League since 2010, would you believe, which is a phenomenal record. I don't think they're going to win at the Bernabeu either.
That's a fair comment. I don't think they will either. 2-5 Real Madrid to win this game for the heavy hitters out there. You mentioned that bad run away from home. They have scored in their last four UEFA Champions League trips, but unfortunately they've conceded plenty as well. You look at that result against Barcelona, their most recent result away from home in Europe, and they were beaten 6-1, absolutely hammered in that game. Real Madrid might repeat the dose here. Good performance at the weekend, of course, with Ronaldo moving to second in the all-time La Liga scoring charts. He's now got 252 goals in La Liga, scored four in Saturday's 7-1 demolition job against Celta Vigo. It's how to get involved and get some sort of price on your side here. Enhanced odds, Ronaldo to score two or more and Real Madrid to win in 90 minutes at 5-2, which is probably fair. Ronaldo's 6-10 to score in this game. Gareth Bale came back from injury, scored against Celta Vigo, came off the bench and scored. He's 13-10 to get a goal in this game. We referenced that poor run Roma have had away from home. It is well worth noting that they've won their last seven in Serie A. So then they're coming into this game in reasonable form. Obviously in that spell they did get beaten in the first leg in this tie 2-0 in Rome, but that's their best run in the league since March-April 2014. They're still 8 points behind Juventus at the top of the table, though, and Real Madrid have won four of their last five Champions League matches at home to nil. Real Madrid minus one is a definite play for me here at just slight odds on 10-11 in this match. Real Madrid minus two is in the betting at 12-5, and do I want a bigger prize for Cristiano Ronaldo to score two or more and Real Madrid to win? It's 5-2. I could see that easily landing as well.
I've got an opinion here, a little bit of an opinion.
Yeah.
But it could all be blown out of the water very early. I think Real Madrid will be happy just getting a 1 or 2-0 win here. Just
right.
Progress through the 1-4-0 on aggregate. They don't need to do any more than that. I suppose the difference is if Roma try and mount and fight back. Real Madrid to win an under 2.5 goals in the game is 16-5.
Right.
Which I just think is quite an attractive price for something that, if you look at their home results in the Champions League, okay, they thrashed Malmo 8-0 last time they played them, but the better teams, they beat PSG 1-0, they only beat Atletico Madrid 1-0, They drew 1-1 with Juventus, so they're only two goals into that game, but I do expect them to win this. I just think when they play the better, even Liverpool back in 2014, they only beat them 1-0 at home.
Yes.
I think there's a chance of it landing.
No, definitely there is a chance. I just get the feeling with this Real Madrid side under Zinedine Zidane, they just go out there and they're told to express themselves. You look at the recent results against weaker opposition, and I kind of bracket Roma in that as well, in La Liga. Celta Vigo 7-1, Athletic Club Bilbao 4-2, Espanyol 6-0, yeah. Sporting Gijón 5-1, Deportivo La Coruña 5-0, Real Sociedad 3-1, Rayo Vallecano 10-2. They've just been incredible at home, barring that one result against an absolutely top class side in Atletico Madrid, and Roma are definitely a notch down from Atletico. I actually fancy Real Madrid to get plenty of goals in this game. That's why I'll play -1 and 10-11 -1.
Yeah,
that's got to be a good bet against Roma, I think.
No, I do like that bet. I was just drawn into the price.
Yes,
of the, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's a price play more than anything else. Let's move on to the other game on Wednesday evening then. Zenit St. Petersburg against Benfica. This one is an early kickoff, by the way. It's at 5 p.m. Zenit are 11-10, 23-10 for the draw, and 5-2 for Benfica. How do you see this one going, Dave?
I reckon there will be a goal for a man named Hulk in this match. He is he's been very, very good in the Champions League this season. This is actually going to be his 50th game in the competition. He scored 3 and assisted 4 in 6 games this season in the Champions League. I think he will get on the score sheet in this match. As for the outright prices, Zenit St. Petersburg are maybe a little bit underpriced here at 11-10 because they've not been playing with the sort of fluency maybe we expect from Zenit sides in previous seasons. They're only 5th in the Russian Premier League, so that's not fantastic for Zenit. We're held by Krasnodar at the weekend, maybe with one eye on this game against Benfica coming up, and 0-0 only came through after extra time against Cuban Krasnodar in the Russian Cup prior to that. They were beaten, of course, in the first leg 1-0 by Benfica. Their form not spectacular, but Hulk's been very, very good for Zenit St. Petersburg, and for him to get on the score sheet, it's 11-8 for him to score in this game. If you are of the opinion Zenit St. Petersburg are going to win, given that Benfica have lost 4 of their 5 away games in the Champions League knockout stages, won just one of those, and Zenit have got a good record in the Champions League at home this season. They've won all 3 of their home games, only conceded 2 goals in that spell as well. Then Zenit and under 2.5 goals, I think, would be the way I'd look at this game. I can see this being pretty tight. The first leg was quite tight as well. Zenit and under 2.5 goals is in the betting at 14-5. But Hulk, who is instrumental and everything goes through Hulk, 11-8 for him to score any time is my play in that match.
So are you leaning towards Zenit then, getting the result here?
I'm not 100% sure on the outright. I just think Zenit are skinny at 11-10. And if you are wanting to be with Zenit, I'd definitely look at Zenit and under 2.5 goals because of the way they defend at home. It's difficult. It's kind of cliche, isn't it, to say a difficult trip to Russia. But it is tough to go to Zenit St. Petersburg in European competition and get anything.
That's the one thing that puts me off. Because if you look at Benfica's record, they have won all but one of their last 18 games. Oh, sorry, all but 2. They drew a game as well with Madeira.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable
record.
Away from
home.
It was... No, that's...
Just in all competitions?
Just in general, yeah.
Right, OK.
And they beat their nearest rival, Sporting Lisbon, at the weekend 1-0 as well. I think this is a very good Benfica side, but you mentioned they don't travel well in Europe,
yeah.
And they go to a notoriously difficult place, a freezing cold Russia, for a team from Portugal might just give them a bit of a shock to the system.
One little pointer before we move on that I think is definitely of interest to listeners, and given that I've had a couple of games here where I've not got massive opinion in the outright markets,
yeah.
Chelsea, PSG and Zenit St. Petersburg here against Benfica, we've got hundreds of markets on this game. At time of recording this on Monday afternoon, the one market we've not got is the cards market, which I think is the most interesting market in this match, and we will have cards markets closer to the time. they've picked up, these two teams, Zenit and Benfica, have picked up the most cards in the Champions League this season. Zenit have picked up 24, Benfica have picked up 23. First leg, 6 yellows and a red.
Right.
So I think that's very interesting for the listeners. When we do have full markets on this, cards markets, look at going overs on the points and look at a red card in this match as well.
I like it. Definitely a good way into a game that's quite tricky to call either way. So, yeah, I like it. Let's move on to Thursday evening then. We've got Europa League last 16 matches on Thursday night, and one of them sees two English clubs face off against each other, and it's one of the biggest games in club football traditionally as well. Liverpool take on Manchester United. Liverpool 11-10, the draw 21-10. Manchester United are 29-10. 5-6 a pick'em in the qualification market, and a couple of enhanced odds here as well. We've got Daniel Sturridge to score in a Liverpool win at 7-2, and Anthony Martial to score in a Man United win at 8-1. This game is pretty crucial for both sides now, isn't it? Given that the Europa League is probably, well, almost definitely the best chance either of these two clubs are going to have to qualify for next year's Champions League.
Definitely, yeah. It's a huge match. It's sort of sneaked in under the radar, hasn't it? Not many people look at, I thought there'd be more build-up to the match, let's put it that way. I know we're only talking about this on Monday, and maybe it will be hyped more as game time approaches. But this is historic because this is the first time these two clubs are facing each other in European competition, which I couldn't believe.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, which I thought Manchester United and Liverpool, surely they've met either in the European Cup, as it was back then, the UEFA Cup, as it used to be as well. But the first time they've ever played each other in European competition. Anfield is going to be a buzz, isn't it? Mm. You can imagine the crowd are going to be amped up to the maximum for this match. Liverpool look short, in my opinion, at 11-10. They've lost their last four matches against Manchester United. And what people maybe they've missed, not missed, but not been fully aware of that fact that Manchester United have been very strong against Liverpool, beating them on both occasions this season. It was a similar story going into the game at Anfield back in mid-January. Liverpool were a similar sort of price, and Manchester United were deemed to be in turmoil then, and Manchester United went there and won that one goal coming through Wayne Rooney, who crucially isn't available for this match. Manchester United beat them back in September as well, winning 3-1 on that occasion. Daley Blind got a goal, and a Herrera scored from the penalty spot, and Anthony Martial rounded off victory in that game. Liverpool, would you say slightly fortuitously got a win against Crystal Palace at the weekend? Palace have been poor, haven't they? Without a win in 12 in the Premier League. Mm. And Liverpool went there, went down to 10 men, went a goal down, still won that game 2-1. Whereas Manchester United, very much a lacklustre performance against West Brom. This is going to be tense though, isn't it? You can imagine that a first leg encounter, never played each other in Europe. Anfield is going to be an incredible atmosphere for these two sides to do battle on Thursday night. I think that we won't see many goals in this game. I reckon it'll be pretty low scoring this match. So definitely be playing under 2.5 goals in the game. That will be my main bet in the match, in fact. Under 2.5 goals in the game is 8-15. Wow, that is short. Under 1.5 goals is in the betting at 7-4. That makes me think. Under 2.5, I didn't think it'd be that short at 8-15. I reckon there'll be cards in the game. Mm. I see it being a feisty affair, this one. And we'll have the cards markets close to the time, but I'll be looking overs on the points in the cards. Liverpool just looked too short to me at 11-10.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I've got a little bit of a theory here as well, Dave.
Go on.
When Liverpool are fired up for a game this season, the likes of the City game, where they've beaten them a couple of times in the league and that kind of thing, they play some really attractive football, and they look like world beaters. It's just the other games that they let themselves down, if you like.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Manchester United raise their performance to that kind of level at all for 12 months.
Mm. No, I kind of agree with that. They've had some big results, haven't they, Manchester United? But I I reckon that's when their opponents have underperformed. Like when Arsenal came to Old Trafford, and Manchester United weren't expected to win that game. They did win it, but Arsenal were dismal. And I think we've seen that throughout the season. Whether or not you can attribute some of that to the style of Manchester United's play,
probably,
is open to debate. Let's put it this way. If this match had been played last Thursday, would Liverpool be 11-10 to win the game? I don't believe they would. There's been a lot read into Manchester United's performance against West Brom, beaten 1-0 in that match. But Manchester United now need to put all their eggs in the Europa League basket. There's no more relying on a top four finish to qualify for the Champions League. This is their entrance point. Performances in Europe for Manchester United as well have got to be looked at away from home in the Europa League this season. Went to Athletic Club, lost 2-1. Went to Midtjylland, lost 2-1. Different dynamic, though, going to Anfield. It's going to feel like a Premier League clash, isn't it? To a certain extent, anyway, even though it is a big European night for Liverpool. Under 2.5 is the way I wanted to play. It's 8-15, though, so maybe I'll play under 1.5 at 7-4. But the compilers are definitely all over that. They're on the right side of things as far as the goals markets are concerned.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards Liverpool, so
yep.
Liverpool and under 2.5 goals, if I buy into your theory as well, is 5-2. I'll just go back to the point. I think if Liverpool turn up and play their best game here with the raucous Anfield crowd behind them on a European night against a club that we all know they do not like, I don't think Manchester United can live with that, particularly with the injuries they have at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. I wouldn't have a pro Manchester United bet at 29-10. Maybe Roberto Firmino will get on the score sheet again. He scored against Manchester City, scored against Palace at the weekend as well. He's a fine player, isn't he? Very, very... I still think he's underrated, Roberto Firmino. 23-10 he is to score any time. Expect him to play either up front on his own or in behind Divock Origi in this match. Origi is 23-10 to score any time. I wonder if Daniel Sturridge will be available for selection in the game as well.
He was on the bench, wasn't he, at the weekend?
Yes.
I think they'll play him in this.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So that might mean Origi drops out the starting lineup. He's looked lively, Origi, recently. Roberto Firmino is a good price at 23-10 to score.
He's been very impressive of late, Firmino. Shall we leave that there? Move on to the other one. Borussia Dortmund against Tottenham Hotspur. Borussia Dortmund 4-7. The draw 14-5. Tottenham are 5-1. I suppose with Tottenham still the nearest pursuers to Leicester in the Premier League, they wouldn't have wanted a tie against Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League if they were harbouring any ambitions to get further in this competition. It's a distraction they don't want, really, I suppose, isn't it?
It's a bad spot for Tottenham Hotspur, isn't it? I believe they are. They are obviously looking at the Premier League title and still maybe not expecting to win the Premier League title, but considering that they could get close to Leicester City in the race for the title. That was a bad point against Arsenal at the weekend. 2-1 up Arsenal, down to 10 men, and just switched off. Hugo Lloris should have saved that shot from Alexis Sanchez. Sanchez didn't strike it cleanly. And it was Tottenham's best chance, obviously, ever to win the Premier League. And just lacking at the weekend, lacking against West Ham prior to that as well, away from home. So a disappointing 10 days for Tottenham Hotspur. And this could be a game too far against Borussia Dortmund, who are an incredible side. Only 5 points behind Bayern Munich, who many consider to be the best team in Europe in the Bundesliga, and they're a full 16 points ahead of Hertha Berlin in that league. So clearly the second best team in Germany. Held Bayern Munich at home 0-0 at the weekend. Dortmund even maybe looking forward to this match against Tottenham in the Europa League. So to hold a fully strength Bayern Munich side to a goalless draw at the weekend. Prior to that, they have been on an incredible run of form.
Just look at Dortmund's form.
It's amazing. The last time they were beaten was back on the 19th of December. That was against FC Köln. They've just been sensational since then. Obviously had that mid-season winter break, and they've only dropped 4 points since then. 2 points dropped at the weekend against Bayern Munich. You can't consider those points dropped. And Hertha Berlin, who were third in the league, they went to their ground and drew 0-0. Very solid. Home form, incredibly strong. They're a good price to win this game.
Yeah.
They are a good price to win this game at 4-7, Borussia Dortmund. And I think -1 Dortmund with Tottenham not fully tuned up for this test, and maybe Tottenham will expect to go to Villa Park on Sunday and win their next match. But Dortmund -1 is available at 11-8, which I'll be playing in this game.
Fair enough. There's one market I do like here as well, Dave. I mentioned the enhanced odds yet. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to score in a Borussia Dortmund win is 7-4. Our traders have been generous there and give you their banging form top goal scorer in that enhanced odds offer. And you've also got Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win at 10-1 on the other side, which will appeal to several people, I'm sure, as well, if they think Spurs are going to win. So they've done us a favour there.
They have. I don't mind that that headline offer at all. I'd also be looking at Henrik Mkhitaryan for a goal in this game. He's 6-4 to score. Often creator, that's the only negative with Henrik Mkhitaryan. If we had assist markets, I'd definitely be
I'd play Firmino in them as well in the other
game. Yeah, he's created more chances in the Europa League than any other Dortmund player this season. If you're looking for a Tottenham goal scorer in this game, Eric Lamela's 15-4 to score any time. Only Arit Sadurith has scored more Europa League goals this season than Lamela, so he's been good in this competition, 15-4. We could see a Borussia Dortmund romp here. I don't think Spurs will be fully tuned up for this match. Could be wrong. But I'll be going with Borussia Dortmund -1 at 11-8 as my main bet.
All right, I like that headline offer. Aubameyang, yeah. 22 goals this year. He's a great player.
Oh, he is fantastic. Yeah, I can see that 7-4. That looks like that could be a strong bet, couldn't it? He's even money to score any time, and I think if he scores, not sure Tottenham score in this match. Goals markets, if you're looking for Dortmund to win 2-0 in the game, that's 29-20. It's fair as well.
Yeah, it happens fairly often as well. They didn't concede against Bayern. They didn't concede against Darmstadt. Or Porto, or Leverkusen.
Yeah.
You can keep going back. There's several there. Porto again, Hanover. They don't concede many.
They're just a strong, solid European team. And this is not the team that Spurs wanted to draw in this competition.
Not at all, yeah. All right, Dev, do you have a strongest opinion of the week, or do you have a best bet? Or
my best
if
bet...
If not, I'll just take this bit out.
I have got a best bet. My best bet is Julian Draxler to score any time for Wolfsburg at 13-10 in their game against Ghent, because I expect them to win comprehensively.
Fair enough. Good work, Dev. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Thank you, Mark Walton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.